This is Retirement Talk. I'm Del Lowry. I've entitled this podcast, Heroes. Pete Seeger died 9 years ago. He's one of my heroes. Always has been. Always has been as long as I can remember. I'm not sure when I first heard him sing, but it must have been in the 50s on some folk music records. Then the 60s came around and he was a legend in the folk music scene that dominated the decade. I was in college and I had just purchased my first guitar. Everyone knew the name, Pete Seeger. He and Woody Guthrie, they were a pair of icons. Pete Seeger stood up to the House on Un-American Activities Committee, Joe McCarthy, and his patriotic anti-communist task force. Pete Seeger refused to cooperate with this group of old white guys in suits that seemed to have a death grip on America for a short time. I say a short time, and it was, but back then it seemed like it would never end. Communism was the big fear in the 50s, sort of like terrorism or climate change is in this decade. Both seemed to demand that you stand on your front porch and shout that you are not a communist or a terrorist, or else something must be wrong with you. It didn't seem right to me as a kid, and it still doesn't seem right to me as an old man. I always thought that what one carried around in their own head was their own business, sort of sacred ground. Pete Seeger understood this and stood his ground. He was blacklisted by Hollywood and the New York media elite. He couldn't get a job. He played for free. He played for kids. He performed locally and did what he could. He didn't shut up. His life was one of being a musician storyteller, and he kept telling stories and speaking up for the underclass. Anyone who was discriminated against or oppressed could be sure that Pete Seeger would speak out for them. That's always been the mark of morality. It is a mark of a hero. He made people believe life could be better. He dealt in hope. I had a great talk with a guy one time while sitting around a fire on the Serengeti Plain about heroes. This guy, Don Hill, surprised me by confessing to his strong need to lead a heroic life. We were both assisting an anthropologist with his study of kinship patterns of the spotted hyenas. Don and I shared a tent for 3 weeks, and we got to know each other fairly well. Don was a heart surgeon from San Francisco. He was also involved in research. He was working on developing a plastic heart. He was in the forefront of the development of this endeavor at the time. This was in 1979. His staff had sent him to this remote spot so that he could take a break. He would usually end vacations early and return to work. They wanted him to be somewhere from which he couldn't escape easily. Africa was the choice, and the middle of the Masai Mara game preserve seemed perfect. No planes, no trains, no cars, no roads, and in those days, no phones. In San Francisco, his whole life was consumed by work. He was at the hospital every day at 5 a.m. He performed heart surgeries until after the noon hour. Then his work shifted to research on the plastic heart. He worked until 7, 8, or even 9 every night. He never took breaks. He wasn't married. He had no children. He was completely devoted to his work. One night I inquired as to what motivated him. His reply, "The effective working plastic heart will save hundreds of thousands of lives each year. That's worth the effort. Just think, there are more than 300,000 people each year who would have their life saved and extended because of something you have done." I remember him looking into the fire and saying, "I believe life should be heroic. You only live once, and there are so many things you can do. It just seems like one should work at something that might really help all of us. I asked if he had any heroes, and he replied that he did. Copernicus, Darwin, and the guy that comes up with a good working plastic heart. Then he smiled. He admired Copernicus because he's the one who unchained the Earth from being considered the center of the universe. It was incredibly important in the development of our thinking. He changed man's relationship to God, religion, and the universe forever. Don admired Darwin for his giant step of seeing or observing and explaining evolution in a meaningful fashion. His thinking changed our thinking forever. The scientific method was validated forever, Don said. Pete Seeger came to Anchorage, Alaska while we were living there. Our kids were young, but I wanted them to see him. He performed at the University of Alaska campus in Anchorage. He strode out on the stage in his blue jeans and blue chambray shirt. His banjo rang out, and he sang like a nightingale in Kentucky on a bright sunny morning. I remember the audience was enthralled and joined him in singing words to songs that inspire and enlighten. The kind of songs that make chills run up and down your spine and tears well up in your eyes. That's what Pete Seeger could do. He could move you to think there is something better in the world, to think that you are better and that your fellow travelers on this planet are better. Move you to think that we can overcome difficulty and make the world a better place. How valuable is that? I heard an interview with him on the radio one time. He ended the interview with a story, a biblical story, of which many of us are familiar. He said that his life and songs have been similar to the story of the farmer who is sowing seeds, and some fall on clay and never grow. Others fell on rock and were blown away. Others fell on fertile soil and took root, grew, flourished, and bloomed. We don't know what might happen, but we must continue to throw the seed. Of course, I have other heroes, but they can wait for another day. This day and this week, Pete Seeger dances in my mind. This is Retirement Talk. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions, contact Dell at retirementtalk.org.